It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're following Paul on his missionary journeys and how he had passed from Philippi to Thessalonica. And we're looking at this from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 12, and following along with the notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of September 13th, 1925. And we're going to begin in Acts chapter 17 and verse 1 in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's follow Paul and Silas on their journeys. Acts 17 in verse 1 says, "And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews." Now in reading this, it seems like Luke must have stayed behind at Philippi. We can follow Luke through the book of Acts by the use of the pronouns where it says we and us. That means Luke is there, and they and them means Luke is not there, but he's writing about them. And so looking at that, it sounds like he stayed in Philippi, and we're going to pick back up with Luke in company with Paul, but it may be about 6 or 7 years before they join company again. These men were probably left there by Paul to instruct the church and to preach the gospel to others. And by these men, we're talking about Timothy, who may have stayed behind with Luke. And if we are to judge by the use of us and we as to how long Luke remained in Philippi, when he again joined Paul's company, well, there will be 6 or 7 years. Paul preached at Thessalonica. We read in Acts chapter 17, verses 2 through 4. "And Paul, as his custom was, went unto them, and for 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures, opening and alleging that it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom, said he, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." It says Paul, as his custom was. Well, he first went to the synagogue at Thessalonica and sought to teach the Jews. Paul, although the apostle to the Gentiles, always first sought to reach the Jews, and through them the Gentiles with the gospel. At Antioch in Pisidia, he said to the Jews, "It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing ye thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles," Acts 13:46. "For 3 Sabbath days, now that would be Saturdays, 3 Saturdays, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. He met with the Jews on 3 consecutive Sabbaths, because it was the appointed time to teach them." The Scriptures were the Old Testament Scriptures. And it says he opening and alleging. Those are terms of logic, affirming and proving that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom, said he, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ. First he showed from the Old Testament Scriptures that the Christ must suffer, die, and rise from the dead. The Jews' idea of the promised Messiah and King was inconsistent with the humility, suffering, crucifixion, and death of Jesus. They must first be made to see that the Scriptures foretold that the Christ must thus come and suffer such things before they could accept Jesus as the Christ. Thus Peter on Pentecost, and Paul at Antioch in Pisidia, and in other places, proceeded to prove that Jesus is the Christ. Thus Jesus argued with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47, having proved by these scriptures that the expected Messiah, or Christ, must suffer and rise again from the dead, Paul then showed that Jesus, whom he preached, had fulfilled these prophecies and was the Christ. By miracles, God confirmed Paul's statement that he was an apostle and had seen Jesus after his ascension to heaven, and that therefore he had arisen from the dead. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, how that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, even as ye know what manner of men we showed ourselves toward you for your sake, having proved by these scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Now Luke does not say here how long Paul and Silas spent the intervening weeks between these Sabbaths, or how they spent their time. But from what Paul writes in these Thessalonian epistles, we can correctly conclude that they not only taught the truth to others as they had opportunity, but they were at work with their own hands. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, we read, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, working night and day, that we might not be burdened to any of you. We preach the gospel of God unto you." It was here, too, that the Philippians sent once and again to Paul's necessities. We read about that in Philippians chapter 4, 15 and 16. Yet this seems not to have been sufficient to sustain him and his company all the while. The results of Paul's preaching was that some of them, that is, some of the Jews, were persuaded, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. The devout Greeks were Greek proselytes, or at least Gentiles who worshiped God according to the way of the Jews. The chief women were also Gentile proselytes, some of these probably wives of these devout Greeks. The majority of these converts were Gentiles, and hence Paul would write to them in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, "You turned unto God from idols to serve the true and living God." Now, the gospel was greatly received there in Thessalonica, but there was great opposition to it as well. We read in Acts chapter 17, 5 through 9, "But the Jews, being moved with jealousy, took unto them certain vile fellows of the rabble, and gathered a crowd, and set the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. They sought to bring him forth to the people, and when they found them not, they dragged Jason and certain brethren before the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, There is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the multitude and the rulers of that city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The Jews did not believe, seemed always the most bitter enemies of the apostles and his co-laborers. Through envy they crucified Jesus, and here moved with jealousy, because so many Gentiles accepted the Christ, they instituted the shameful proceeding stated in this verse. At Antioch in Pisidia, the Jews pursued the same course as here, except there they stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas by exciting against them the devout women and the chief men of the city. And here they gathered vile fellows of the rabble and set the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason, because he entertained Paul and Silas. And they sought to bring them all forth to the people. And when they did not find Paul and Silas in Jason's house, they vented their rage on Jason, and dragged him and certain brethren before the rulers of the city. The charge against Paul and Silas was that these have turned the world upside down and have come hither also. This refers to the disturbance or mob violence which had been raised against the apostles in other places, of the which these Jews of Thessalonica had doubtless heard exaggerated reports. They unjustly blamed Paul and Silas with all this, while those who raised the disturbance and led the mobs were to blame. Those who introduce innovations now into the work of the church and worship of God, producing strife and division, charge those who cannot conscientiously accept the innovations with dividing churches. Jason was accused of aiding these offenders, but he and these brethren were citizens, and these Jews and a mob dared not abuse them as they would strangers. Another charge was that Paul and Silas and all their converts were acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, teaching there's another king, one Jesus. The very charge the wicked Jews made against Jesus when they crucified him. The Jews hated Caesar, but they pretended a great loyalty when they desired to kill Jesus or to persecute his apostles. Paul preached that Jesus is king over his spiritual kingdom. But these Jews must have known that Jesus was not on earth, and it was not an earthly political king or rival to Jesus. The perversion of Paul's preaching into a false charge served their purpose to raise a mob and to excite the rulers against him. These false charges, that treasonable things against Caesar were taught, troubled the multitude and rulers of the city. If Paul and Silas had been found, violence would have been done to them as at Philippi and other places. But Jason was only accused of receiving them, and he was released on bond to keep the peace and encourage nothing treasonable against the laws of the country. And so Paul goes to Berea. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and examined the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, and of the Greek women of honorable estate, and of men, not a few. Paul and Silas were sent away by night as a matter of prudence to avoid further disturbance and to protect themselves. Jason and others. Paul escaped death by leaving Damascus at night by having been let down from the wall in a basket in Acts 9:25. Berea is said to be about 45 miles. Now, some say a little further. Southwest of Thessalonica. Its present name is Berea, and it has between 15 and 20,000 inhabitants. It was their custom. Paul and Silas again went into the synagogue of the Jews and preached the word. Now the text tells us that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The reason for saying this is given, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Their nobleness consisted in gladly receiving the word and with honesty of purpose examining the Scriptures to learn the truth. The same result follows today by all honest investigations of the Scriptures to learn the will of God. Very many seemed so unlike these Bereans. If people now have not sufficient interest in their salvation to examine the Scriptures daily in order to learn the truth, they have not enough interest to be saved. One of the most general and most destructive sins of the present is neglecting or even refusing to examine all religious questions in light of the Scriptures. We're going to conclude right here and finish this Sunday school lesson when we gather again.